Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This week is the final stretch for hundreds of bills that have passed the state legislature, awaiting their fate with Governor Gavin Newsom, with the stroke of a pen deciding whether to sign each into law or veto them. It's a time in state politics that comes with surprises. There are many headline-grabbing new state laws, but the vetoes can also get a fair share of attention. Among the bills stopped in its tracks is one that would have become a first-in-the-nation law, banning caste discrimination, which is a social hierarchy typically connected to South Asian countries like India and Nepal that determines a person's work and education opportunities from the day they are born. The bill raised awareness that this form of discrimination has filtered into powerful industries like Silicon Valley's tech sector. But the bill was also controversial within California's South Asian communities. Despite receiving overwhelming support from Democratic state lawmakers, Governor Newsom decided to block the bill from becoming law. We first talked about caste discrimination with CalMatters politics reporter Samia Kamal earlier this year. Samia joins us once again with why the bill came up short. Good morning, Samia.
Good morning, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
So I just skimmed the surface of what caste discrimination is. Dive into it more for those who are unfamiliar with what it is.
Sure. So it is a centuries-old social hierarchy system where you are kind of born into your caste, and that determines whether you can pursue educational opportunities, what kind of work that you do. It has a lot of social implications, you know, who you can marry. And it was banned in India, for example, back in 1950. But it's the legacy of it continues to play out in India, in South Asia, and here in the U.S. as the Asian community has grown.
And what I've learned from your reporting is the lowest caste, I mean, they can be called the untouchables. What does that mean?
Right. You know, there are sort of segregation measures where the lowest caste can't go to the same temples as the higher caste. You know, just there are things about using the same dishes. And, you know, there is a root in their religion. But some of these, I think, attributes have been maybe interpreted in a way that can be difficult for people, that creates, you know, more segregation and is especially hard to carry out in the U.S.
Yeah. And when I know it's predominantly in South Asian countries like India and Nepal, but also in terms of religions like Hindus and Sikhism, and even it expands to even those of Oaxacan descent, and that's in Mexico.
Right. You know, I think caste to some extent exists in a lot of communities, a lot of religions, and that's what's hard. You know, you may never root out those social caste behaviors, but I think what this bill tries to do is just ensure that it, or what it tried to do while it was still in play, was try to root that out, at least in housing and education and in employment issues where, you know, you can't use caste to, you know, prohibit someone from a particular type of job, from a pay raise, that kind of thing.
What did you learn about how caste discrimination has filtered into California?
So I think we've seen the most impact of it in the tech sector because it's such a large, you know, South Asian community. I believe something like 25% of the workers in Santa Clara and San Mateo counties are, come from India, those with bachelor's degrees who work in the tech sector. And so, you know, I think we hear a lot about there's a social division, but also, you know, who has the opportunity. And some of that is traced to the immigration patterns because, you know, people with access to education in India were able to get to the U.S. earlier than, you know, those from lower castes. That kind of created a different class system here where people from lower castes, when they came here, they didn't have the same opportunities. Maybe they came later in life, you know, didn't have the same educational opportunities. So they maybe couldn't get the same jobs that people from upper castes in India could get here in the U.S.
And maybe by the time that they were able to immigrate over to California and to the Silicon Valley and the example you're using, it impacted their upward mobility within a company.
Exactly. Yeah.
Given that there's already a range of discrimination laws in California from, you know, race and ethnicity to gender, sexual orientation, housing, education, employment, why was this bill needed?
that was the big question, I think, throughout the bill process is, what is caste included under ancestry? And so there is a case at Cisco that both sides point to, a couple of years ago, an employee filed a complaint alleging that he was denied a pay raise and experienced some harassment due to his caste. And so the state civil rights department brought a case against the company. That lawsuit is still ongoing. And so opponents of the bill pointed to that case as, you know, well, it's already covered, so why do we need an additional bill? But supporters point to that case as, well, caste discrimination is happening, as you can see from this case. So, you know, maybe we need to make it more explicit. And, you know, I think there is a sense of wanting to shift the burden of, trying to prove whether caste is covered to the state and not on individuals.
And there was also like a strong opposition within South Asian communities in California, which are very diverse. They're far from a monolith, right? And you covered this extensively. Why did this become such a divisive issue among South Asian communities?
I think there were a couple of things going on. I spent some time out at the Capitol where I got to talk to both supporters and opponents. And there was, you know, a fear that this bill would somehow allow the state to determine people's caste or to, you know, ask them for that information and, you know, log it somewhere. So kind of a fear of people's religions being used against them or just assuming that they were discriminating because maybe they were from an upper caste. I think some of the outrage over this bill, you know, it got attention as far as India, you know, newspapers and TV stations were talking and writing about this bill out there. And so it was, you know, you were hearing a lot of voices and it was, you know, at times I think tricky to tell who was coming from California and the many, many interested parties from around the nation, around the globe. And it's also the first bill of its kind on the state level. I think we saw a bill in the city of Seattle that passed as well as in Fresno just, you know, weeks ago. But on the state level, California would have been the first. And, you know, as it is, California, what we do tends to attract some attention, but this bill especially.
That's interesting. I mean, you mentioned that India banned caste discrimination, I think, back in the 1950s, correct? But it even is gaining interest in India, you know, the fact that California considered this law. What does that signal? Like, what is that? I mean, that I find that so interesting. It like crossed, it went to the other side of the world. And so about caste discrimination.
Yeah,
and I guess how prevalent it still is.
Right. Yeah. I think informally it is still prevalent. And there's also, you know, the geopolitical situation in India. Otherwise, there is a strong Hindu nationalist movement and that is separate from caste, but they do end up intersecting a bit. And one of the common threads is a message about the fear of Hindu phobia. And, if some of the issues with the earlier versions of the bill, it did describe, you know, South Asians and called out some South Asian countries. And so there was a fear that, well, if you specifically identify this group of people as being perpetrators of caste discrimination, that could lead to more Hindu phobia. So in later versions of the bill, that language was amended out. But it's a couple of conversations happening at once.
Yeah. Well, despite the contentiousness of this bill, when you look at the votes, it overwhelmingly passed both the state assembly and the state senate. So why did the governor block a bill from really his own party?
Yeah, that is the big question that a lot of people are asking. And, you know, his reason was because he said the bill was unnecessary given the state's existing laws. And so, you know, going back to that Cisco case. But it does further fuel speculation that maybe he has ambitions for higher office, for the presidency someday. And, you know, some of that speculation is, well, maybe he doesn't want to alienate certain groups. And just in late September, the census published some data about Asian Indians being the fastest growing group in the U.S. And that is a huge population that maybe you don't want to alienate. And I think people are also, there's this bill and there's a few other vetoes that the governor has issued that, you know, people are kind of looking at them in a trend of, what is the governor's goal here? But, you know, in some senses, the governor has also been known to be more moderate when it comes to bills that impact business. And so this could be, you know, also just more along that pattern of his support of tech companies and their ability to, you know, operate the way they want to.
Yeah. And Republican lawmakers were at least voiced their opposition to this bill as well. Was that in line with their opposition that it could impact the business sector?
That was one of the arguments, yes, along with whether it was necessary, that it might be too divisive. But yes, also the impact on the economy and California's ability to innovate.
Leading up to this decision, this veto, there was a hunger strike and in support of caste discrimination becoming a new state law. What did you learn from people that were partaking in this? Because it lasted for 30 days. And is it still continuing?
I don't actually know the status. I know that the one of the groups that was leading it has issued a statement that they are still optimistic for the future. I think I, you know, just judging by the bill analysis, the number of groups that were in support of the bill, there were a lot of civil rights groups, a lot of, you know, legal groups, different lawyers associations. And I think to some extent it was, you know, maybe it wasn't a complete failure because they did get to educate a lot of people. And that's something that Senator Aisha Wahab, the author of the bill, did say is a lot of her work on this bill was just educating people, other lawmakers, about what caste is and, you know, just people's complete unfamiliarity with the issue. And that could have, you know, determined the outcome as well. Even during the legislative process, there were moments where it was not certain that the bill would get through. And it was even within other Democratic legislators who asked this, you know, for the bill to be paused so they could study it further. So, I think I learned that the supporters were doing a lot of education and awareness. And, you know, I don't know that this will be the end of that.
Why is it such a politically tricky issue?
I think that when the bill, you know, calls out discrimination and even if it's not written in the language that, you know, it's more likely to come from a certain group, that idea of potentially, you know, sort of the reverse discrimination of, well, this group will be the ones to perpetrate this. That, I think, is something lawmakers did not really want to be responsible for or to further. And so they did work on the bill language to try and fix that. And so in the end, you know, I think that was why they passed it. They got to a place where they were comfortable with how the language was, including making caste a subset of ancestry. But yeah, we did see some examples. For example, Assemblymember Ash Kalra, he is the first South Asian lawmaker in the legislature, and he didn't actually comment on the bill until very late in the process. And when he did, it was actually a very, you know, emotional comment. He had tears in his eyes, and he was talking about how difficult it is to sort of see the division among the community. We also saw at the federal level Congressman Ro Khanna, who, you know, initially he did support the bill, but later he did backtrack his comments a little bit. I think, again, going back to maybe one of possibly the governor's reasons for vetoing is just not wanting to isolate or alienate communities.
Is there another avenue outside of state legislation?
I think the other route would be to make the language in the civil rights department's maybe, you know, guidance more clear. But I'm not sure if that would also require a move from the legislature. But yeah, the state agency route would be perhaps another avenue where that law already exists and, you know, how to strengthen that.
Did the author of the bill, did they discuss potentially reintroducing it, having a second version next year?
Senator Wahab has not committed to a second version. What she said was she does think that the language around caste discrimination does need to be more explicit. She said that she'll continue fighting, but we don't know yet what that looks like.
As we close our conversation, Samia, you mentioned that local governments are passing caste discrimination laws, including Fresno. Fresno became the second city in the country. Why Fresno? I mean, we're talking about the Silicon Valley. Why was Fresno in California the first city to pass a law like this.
Yeah, California has a very rich history of South Asians, especially the Sikh population, who came to Stockton, you know, around 1912. That's when the first Sikh temple, the Gurdwara, was established. And so there is a strong community and, you know, a deeply rooted community. And so I think just the ability to organize politically was one factor. But they also got alliance from the Oaxacan community. And so that, you know, I think those factors combined helped the city pass that. I think something like this maybe could be easier to pass on the city level in some senses, although we did see in Cupertino just, you know, whether the city was, when the city was deciding whether to support this bill or not, SB 403, they had, you know, an hours long discussion at the end. They couldn't really come to an agreement. So, you know, I think that makes Fresno's ability to pass the resolution, you know, more significant. Mm.
Samia, thank you. Thank you for the update. Samia Kamal is a politics reporter with CalMatters, updating us on a caste discrimination bill that would have become the first state law of its kind in the country, but it was vetoed by Governor Gavin Newsom. Up next, in Placer County, a murder sentence has made history in California. It is the first murder conviction for a fentanyl-related death in the state. We'll revisit a conversation I had with Placer County's district attorney about the precedent that this sets. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.